May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 888. No wit or will of man, or learning he may boast, no power of reason can draw sinners unto Christ. So fallen is nature, such her flaw, none come except the Father draw. 888.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Holy Word of God, two portions. Firstly, the book of Job and chapter 36. Job chapter 36. The 36th chapter of Job. Elihu also proceeded and said, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any." What a word that is to any who may feel despised here. "He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them for ever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters, and beholden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place, where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Desire not the night, when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoined him his way? Or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity? Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water, They pour down rain according to the vapour thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judgeth he the people, he giveth meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise thereof showeth concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapour. Now let us turn to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed for ever. But thou, Lord, art most high for evermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. May the Lord bless to us those readings of his holy word. Help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, Lord, thou most merciful and long-suffering God, the God of our salvation, we seek to come before thee and to come before him who is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art that new and that living way in which we may approach unto the holiest of all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come before thee as sinners, and Lord, we feel our sinnership and feel that even in our worship and even in those things which we hope, we trust, are wrought by Thee, there is sin that is mixed with all we say and do. Thy work is pure, Thy grace is pure. But Lord, these are earthen vessels, and we feel it so. And yet, Lord, we do thank Thee that Thou hast said that heaven is Thy throne, and earth is Thy footstool. And Lord, to think that Thou hast so exalted upon this earth that is cursed, upon this earth of which the adversary works and goes up and down in it, upon this earth that is filled with wickedness and where sin is so rampant everywhere, yet Thou hast said, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. O Lord, we know that there shall never be peace on earth, and yet there shall be on earth peace. O Lord, we do thank Thee where Thou hast said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but in Me ye shall have peace. And O Lord, we thank Thee that that peace is known here on this earth, in the midst of trial and tribulation and sorrows, something secret sweetens all. And O Lord, we do pray for that peace and that blessing, and that Thy work might appear to the dear friends here. We bring them before Thee, each one, the young and the elderly, those that are able to gather here. We thank Thee for each gathered. But Lord, if there are those that cannot gather, may there be some that bring home to them something, so that the statute in Israel, they that remain with the staff, too weak to go over the brook, they shall part alike. Lord, how oft times we have thanked Thee for that word. And O Lord, do remember those that do feel their weakness and infirmity, and Lord, may they prove afresh, My grace is sufficient for Thee. Lord, we pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon each here, the drawing of the Father that we have sung of, for Thy irresistible grace and mercy, that sinners might be saved by Thy grace, my growing grace, and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and might magnify Thy work in their heart and in their lives and by their testimony. O Lord, we do seek of Thee that there might be that fruit of praise and glory to Thy name. We have here the little ones, the children. We have that rising generation. We have their fathers and mothers, and grandparents too. And may there be that telling to the generation following the wonderful works of God. O Lord, we thank Thee where we're able to see grace and see the blessing of Thy Spirit's work in the hearts of loved ones and friends. And Lord, we do thank Thee for those who recently have been able to put Thee on in open profession, and those baptized at Portsmouth, and one of the loved ones of the dear friends here. We do thank Thee for this, and we pray for the young, that they might be kept and constrained and drawn, and to put Thee on while young, to seek Thee and find Thee. Lord, do remember those in particular trial and tribulation at present, and do sanctify these things and make them work for good. And those who have cause to bless Thy name, help them so to do, and put the crown upon Thy head, to point to Thy redeeming blood, and say, behold the way to God. We thank thee for Calvary. We thank thee for the empty tomb, for that one sacrifice offered for sin and sealed by heaven as accepted. We thank thee, Lord, for the witness of thy people who have known and tasted that thou art gracious, and we thank thee especially where we can say that we also have tasted a little of those living streams and rejoiced in thy salvation and the work of thine hands. O Lord, help each one to value that work that thou hast wrought in them and not despise it or to cast it away. But Lord, do thou grant us to value all thy teaching and all thy words. Lord, do cause us to receive of thy words this morning. Lord, we do pray for that commanded blessing. Lord, thou dost give the word. We do but proclaim it. O Lord, do speak. Do cause that thy sheep might not hear the minister's voice, but hear thy voice, and that they might follow thee. Lord, when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the disciples didn't follow John the Baptist. They followed the Lamb of God. And Lord, we seek that blessing, that thou hast granted that there might be those here drawn to follow after thee. Lord, we do seek then that thou hast magnify and bless thy word amongst us. We thank thee for every temporal blessing, for our food and raiment, for the sunshine, the rains in their season. We thank thee that thou art so long-suffering over this our guilty land. We acknowledge thy just judgments upon us. We acknowledge how far we have departed from thee and cast thee behind our backs and sought unto other gods and not served thee. And, O Lord, we pray for our rulers and all in authority over us. But, Lord, do grant us truly to be in the world, but not of it, and to serve thee and to wait for thee to come. O Lord, do grant us that hastening unto that day, that we might know that thou shalt come again. Lord, do thou grant those blessed times when thou dost come to thy people, and that we might look for that last time that thou shouldst come to us here below and receive us unto thyself. Do grant, Lord, that blessed and good prospect, and may we live as those who are pilgrims and who have a heavenly home and a hope in thee. O Lord, help us then. We come before thee in dependence that thou wouldst grant thy word graciously. Open it up and bless it to the people. Thou knowest our poverty, weakness and need, but make us in thy mercy thy messenger in thy message. Wash us as instrument with thy precious blood, and do grant that peace and pardon and forgiveness to flow forth from Calvary, to come from the high decree of heaven, and that thou hast blessed sinners here. O Lord, may there be those that seek thee who have not sought thee before, and may there be those that are seeking thee that find thee today. O Lord, do grant us a today religion. Today, if ye will harden, hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Lord, leave us not for just a tomorrow religion, and that never comes. Lord, do grant us that hasting and urgency. O Lord, do grant us to seek thee while thou mayest be found. We thank thee for the day of grace and for the assembling together round thy word. And so, Lord, our hope, our expectation is from thee. O come to us, magnify thy name, and cause us to glorify thee in all we say, in all we do. Lord, do thou come, and make the Lord Jesus Christ to be seen and to be precious. We ask all through thy worthy name. Amen.
Hymn number 45. How can ye hope, deluded souls, to see what none e'er saw, salvation by the works obtained of Sinai's fiery law? 45.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the first passage that we read, Job chapter 36, and reading for our text, verse 24. Job 36 and verse 24. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. This is Elihu speaking. Elihu is speaking to Job. Job, in the midst of the furnace of tribulation, in the midst of trial, not brought out of it yet. And yet here, Elihu has this to say to Job. How easy it is, you know, in the midst of a fire and midst of a tribulation in such a way, to either deny that the Lord has any hand in it whatsoever, or else to malign the Lord as if his work is so inferior and that he is so wrong in how he is dealing with us that it brings down his name before other men. Job was advised in this way by Elihu to remember. It was something he already knew. Job was one that feared God, and no doubt in his life, and certainly we are told before his family, before his loved ones, that was the way of his life, to magnify the Lord's work. And yet here in this trial he needed to be reminded of it. And it may be there's one here like that. It has been your life's delight, or since the Lord especially called by grace, to magnify the Lord's work and to speak well of the Lord. But in this particular trial, as it were, this is stayed. And it's hard to do. You can't see really clearly what the Lord is doing. And there's a need to remember in all the Lord's works. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Where the Lord works in his dear people, his people are living in the midst of the world. They're a spectacle to the enemies of God, the people of God, the aged saints, the young, the coming sinners. And yet when the Lord does his work, they all see it. Now when the Lord chastened Israel of old and he brought them into captivity, all the other nations, they saw it. Israel couldn't say, well, let's hide what we have done. No, the Lord openly carried them away into captivity. And what the Lord does with his people is very often in an outward way. And how his people react under it can be either a testimony for good or to be such a sorrow and shame. One example for good is dear Naomi. Remember how that she was widowed, and how her two sons also were widowed. And she felt the Lord had dealt with her very bitterly. And yet in spite of that, how that she walked and how that she carried herself recommended the grace of the Lord. Ruth wanted the same God as Naomi. It wasn't in prosperity and blessing. It wasn't what we would think that drew that Moabitish girl to the religion of Almighty God and to desire to go with Naomi to Bethlehem. No, it was in trial. It was in bereavement and losses. And so we have this word here, remember. Many times in the Word of God we have that, isn't it? It really tells us how easy it is to forget. The young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. How needful for that, for each one of you. You have a Creator, remember him. What about those who are long in the way? Thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God had led thee. These 40 years in the wilderness to try thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst serve him or no. The Lord of the Church of God, this do in remembrance of me. In our gathering together, in the preaching of the word, the apostle with Timothy, I will that thou affirm constantly. What was that? That they that have believed in God be careful to maintain good works. Not a faith that is just hidden in the heart, but that is actually outward. And Paul exhorted that it be affirmed constantly. Again and again, salvation is not by works. That's not how we get to heaven. It is through the work of God alone. But our works are the fruit and proof of the work that is wrought within. Our Lord's parable of the sower, it was the one that bore fruit. And James teaches the same. Faith without works is dead. And so we have this word, remember. May it be a timely word to some here, that there's something that you've forgotten, and Lord, through this will bring again to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit's work is to do this. I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Remember that thou, not the person in the next seat, not someone else, thou. You might say, well, here we have a mixture. There's some that have professed the name of the Lord. We hope there is some here that seek the Lord. And solemnly, I know there will be those of you that are careless and indifferent, and that you do not seek the Lord or feel any need of the Lord at all. Now, are we to look at this word and say, well, this just belongs to a church member? No, there are some, and I've heard it said, well, we can see in the Word of God that we should do this or that, perhaps family worship, maybe concerning some of the precepts of the gospel, we can see it, but I won't walk in that way until God calls me by grace. I hope there's none of you that are walking in that way that you can see what the will of God is, but you say, I'm not going to do that because I'm not a church member, because I'm not called by grace. It's the most sad, most solemn position to be in. To see the will and way of the Lord, but to be saying, no, I want this before I will walk in this way. No, even the most tender, we go back to Ruth. The very first marks, as it were, of grace was a love to the people of God and a love to the Lord and wanting to walk in his ways. There's many that have walked as a seeker for years and longed for that real assurance and blessing of the Lord in their own soul. And as they walk that way, they walk really tenderly. They've not wanted to do anything that would grieve the Lord. They would not wanted to do anything that would hold back the blessings for their soul. As the Lord gave them light, They sought to walk in that light. And may we do that. And not be sifting out and thinking, well, this then doesn't apply unto me. You read in the epistles of Peter, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You might not have tasted that the Lord is gracious, yet in what you feel to be is a saving way. But it may be the Lord has blessed you in providence or in your health or in some other way, and you have felt how gracious the Lord has been to you, how undeserving you have been of what the Lord has done for you. And in that way you can say, I have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I did not deserve that, the way that I was walking and what the Lord has bestowed upon me was done so graciously. And so in that way, there's a tasting of that goodness and graciousness of the Lord. The Lord speaks a solemn word, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? And also, if thou hast been unfaithful in that which is least, who will entrust unto you greater riches? The greatest riches are the blessings, the saving grace of God. The Lord has blessed you with those lesser graces. The Lord is good to all. His mercy, tender mercies are over all his works. And with those that you've dealt with them as if you had not received them from a gracious God, how is he then going to give you those greater riches? And I'd say to you all and to the children, you trace the Lord as being good to you, who answered your prayers, been gracious to you in the smallest thing. You thank him for it. You bless him for it and ask him for more. Ask him for those eternal blessings, but acknowledge him for the smallest blessings that he gives. Remember that thou magnify. This word magnify, now it doesn't change something, does it? If you've got an elderly friend or relative, and you want to show them a photograph, a picture, you can see it very clearly, it's there, but you know they've got very, very poor eyesight. But you want them to see it. You're not going to change the picture at all. You're going to change what's there. But you get a nice big magnifying glass or sheet and you put it over it and then you show them. And then they can see that picture. They can see that. It hasn't changed. It's still there. But they can see it. It illustrates this with magnify. Those of you at school, no doubt in science, that you've looked under a microscope at tissue, at things like that. And you've seen these wonderful structures that you couldn't possibly see with the naked eye. If you were to see a display of photography from such a magnifying thing, you might have on the wall all these beautiful pictures of insects or whatever it is. It might even be the structure of metal when I used to do engineering, and the wonderful structures, and even of the carbon. The naked eye, you couldn't see it, but in magnifying it, you get this beautiful picture. What is bound up with this word magnify? God's work cannot be changed. It's glorious, it's wonderful, and often think about this. Whatever is man's work, you do a work, the closer you look at it, the more mistakes and the more imperfections you see in it. With God's work, the more you look at it, the more wonderful and glorious it is. That applies in everything, especially in salvation. And so this is the illustration, this is the exhortation that is here. Remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. And it's specifically put here, which men behold. And in one sense, I put it this, it belongs to this life. When Hezekiah was told that he should die, now that he turned his face to the wall, prayed unto the Lord that he would lengthen his days. When the Lord so blessed him in that way, then he said to the Father, to the Son, shall show forth the wonderful works of God. And there is that praise in heaven. There is that which the saints there praise and glorify God. But here below, and this is what the saints so sometimes use language, you think, well, don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to praise the Lord there? But what they wanted was to show forth the praises here of him who had called them out of nature's darkness to fellow sinners, to fellow travellers to eternity, those in tribulation as they were, those who had a soul as they had, the generation following. And that was their desire, which men behold, that men actually see. Those in heaven, we read from the Word of God what their employ and what their blessings are, but we cannot behold it, and we cannot see it. And so this here, remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. And then we would, as especially speaking of which men behold, and I want to make this very clear, it is so vital for an inward work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. We sung in the first hymn of the need of being drawn by the Father, the quickening work of the Spirit within, a closet religion, one that is between our soul and God. It is vital that that is so. We do not want a religion that is just all outward fabric, it is all outward works, it's all to be seen of men. Our Lord reproved those in his day that all what they did was to be seen of men. It was glorifying really not God, but themselves. And so I would set that before you, before coming to the next part, because it is here the exhortation, remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. And so it is the work of God that is set before Job, that he is to magnify, not his own work. And the words are left us in this verse, are these words, his work, his work. God's work. What are our works? All stained and dyed with sin. All our works as filthy righteousness. Rags. Rags that cannot clothe us, cannot stand us in any stead before God. It is God's work that will stand. Was it not Gadsby who, when someone called out to him in the street, pointing out a drunk, and saying, there, Mr. Gadsby, there is the result of your work. And he said, yes. He said, that would be the result of my work. If it had been God's work, he would not be in the gutter. God's work makes a real change in a sinner. God's work is to be magnified. Man's works, what do they stand before God? How Paul in his epistle to the Romans so develops and opens this up. He says, if it is work, it is no more grace. If it is grace, it is no more work. It cannot be both. It's God's work that is to be magnified. And this is the key, as it were, to this. Job was in the midst of being the subject of God's work. We may ask ourselves this, are we the subject of God's work? What illustrations the Lord uses, the illustration of the potter, Perhaps some of you at school, you do pottery. I remember when I was at school, I did. Working on the wheel, and there's a lump of clay. And you could fashion it, you could move it, and it just flowed under your hands as to whatever shape you wanted. And if you messed it up, you just pushed it up into a ball and made something else. And the Lord uses that illustration of his work over sinners. Sovereign work to fashion and to form as the heavenly potter. His work, not ours. And remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold, for we are his workmanship, formed by his Spirit, by his grace, in Christ Jesus, unto good works. And so the exhortation to Job in this furnace and in this trial, remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. And so I want to look really at the three main areas of the Lord's work, but particularly the last, really the areas of creation, of providence, and of grace, which are his work. And throughout the Word of God, not just the first chapters, but right the way through, is the work of creation and is the foundation for praise in so many of the Psalms and for the teaching of our Lord as well. And it is a thing that is so much under attack today. And of all of those that are upon this earth, this, I feel, is one of the things that is incumbent upon those that know it to magnify his work in creation. He can't change it. You can't take away from it. You can't make it any more glorious and wonderful than it is. But for those who cannot see it, those who are, as it were, blind to it, what a blessing to be the instrument of pointing in some way to the reality of it. Always remember one time at work, and whether or not it was blessed at all, but I remember it for the spirit that the Lord gave me. And there was two draftsmen that were working for me, and they were speaking about the earth and being millions of years old. And I turned to them and I said, "You don't really believe that, do you?" And they said to me, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, according to the Word of God, the world is 6,000 years old, not millions of years old." And they laughed and laughed and scorned at me. But I've never felt such a quietness and persuasion of the truth of what I said, not before nor since that time. I felt not at all intimidated, I felt such sorrow for them and such pity for them that they could not see. And it's a sacred thing to really feel the truth of what you say. The Lord gave that at that time. I acknowledge it as the Lord's hand, the Lord's giving. But I didn't feel it as I started to speak. It was given as I spoke. And may we be really instant, in season and out of season, ready to magnify the work of the Lord. It is so bound up with salvation. If you and I are saved, it is by the creating, forming hand of God. A greater work than the natural creation, the work out of nothing, a work of sovereign grace. But it is to remember this, to magnify what he has done, what his creation is. Now I thought, meditating, coming along and thinking perhaps of our dear brother here and his work, and my father was a nurseryman, and the Lord has created and made everything, but those that make new varieties of roses or petunias or whatever it is, in one sense, they're magnifying the work of God. They're making it so that men can see even more of the beauties that actually are there. and to see them. When God created the Garden of Eden, then he put man in it, even in innocency, so that he would dress it and care for it. And in that, he was magnifying the work of God. And so may we remember that, and may we be delivered from the godlessness and the unbelief as to creation that is so prevalent, and in the schools and in the teaching, as if this whole aim of this land is to obliterate any acknowledgement or any remembrance that there is a creating God, a God to whom that we must give an account, who has formed all things and who is in control of all things, not just created it and left it to chance, but is in control. Remember that thou magnify his work which men behold, of all people on the earth. It is especially the Lord's people, especially the Lord that is those who the Lord has given light to believe and to understand this. Men behold that work. They see it every day. It's a testimony. It is before them all. But it is the people of God that are given this to magnify. But secondly, it is in the way of providence. And certainly Job was in the middle of this, and how providence and grace, they mesh, they join together so much. What is the world's understanding of providence? Chance. Chance. What is providence? It is foresight, forethought, foreprovision. It's one of the things that is strengthening and very often such a comfort to the people of God. The Lord knew before. The timing of it. Now when the Lord spoke to his disciples, told them where to go for the colt, the ass, what they should find, and they went, and there it was, as they found it. The Lord saying to his disciples, as the good shepherd, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And how many times have we proved that? God said to Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Go to Zarephath. He goes, and there is the widow woman. And there he is provided, the same as it was at the brook Cherith. God's forethought, God's providence, providing beforehand. Joseph says to his brothers, God sent me before you to preserve your lives by a great deliverance. Many years before. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, the years before that that Joseph was there. And yet God knew, and God went before. Well, you think, go back to all of the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and all that the Lord used to bring these things to pass. Even when our Lord was born, then the decree that all the world should be taxed fulfills the scripture that Joseph and Mary come to Bethlehem, and that's where our Lord should be born. And these things are to be noticed. It is the Lord's overruling hand over kings, over things that are made and done in this world. The Lord's hand is in it. Remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. Years ago, over in Australia, at the time I bought a car, and I had a lot of trouble with this car. And a man at work at the same time suddenly decided that he would move house. He moved house a long way away from work, and yet he lived close to work. But it meant that he had to drive past my house. And for a year, when I had all these troubles with the car, he used to pick me up and take me to work. And when the car got fixed, he suddenly said, oh, that was a mistake. He sold the house and he moved back nearer work. But before that time, he said to me one day, he said, you know, he said, if I hadn't have moved, I couldn't be taking you to work. And I said, no. I said, that was the Lord's work. There's a provision for me, you taking me to work like this. And it was for that time, it was so marked at that time. And though it was a real trial to me, with all the troubles with the car, I could see the balancing of it. And I could see it, and it was before them, and it affected that man's life. And him saying that, is at times like that, remember that thou magnify his work. Those things that the Lord gives. The dent in the car. People say, oh, what a pity that that happened. You can tell them why, how that happened, the circumstances, the Lord's work. Wasn't by chance as to how it happened. Things in our lives that men see and notice that to us there's a lot bound up with it. There's a lot. It's the Lord's work. And there's a time to speak, time to keep silence in those things. Remember that thou magnify his work. Men in a natural way pass things off lightly, carelessly. And yet, for the people of God, some things that might be noticed outwardly, there's deep exercise, there's much answers to prayer, there's many things in that that is a time to speak about it and say that this is the work of the Lord. This is God's hand. It's not chance what you're ascribing it to. It's the Lord's hand. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. But then the most important, the blessing of the grace of God. And in one sense, this is another way of looking at this word, magnify. Because grace in itself cannot be seen in the heart. That blessing of the work of God, our Lord spoke of it to Nicodemus, as that each one that is born of the Spirit, you cannot see the Spirit. It's like the wind, it bloweth, thou hearest the sound thereof, thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Is not seen. Yet the Spirit is promised. The Spirit came at the day of Pentecost. It was seen as it on close of fire. It was seen in the evidence of them speaking in other tongues. It was seen in the power and the boldness of which the apostles spoke. It was seen in its effect. But the Spirit itself, the Lord, the power of God, receiving of the things of mine, showing it unto you, the grace of God in the heart is then to be magnified or brought out. And so then it is that men behold, magnify his work, which men behold. God's work inside, men cannot see. But outside it is, and see, this is why with the apostle when he writes to the Romans, and that he is so specific on this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, that is God's work in the heart, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, that outwardly which men behold, which men hear. What saith it? The righteousness of God, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so there's a joining together. And what does he speak also concerning this? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's one of the hymns we often sing at baptizing, isn't it? Ashamed of Jesus. Yes, I may, when I've no sins to wash away. But how different it is when the Lord has wrought in our hearts, and when there is that which we desire to tell to sinners round, what a dear Saviour I have found, and point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Is pointing to the Lord's work. I will tell what he had done for my soul, graciously, mercifully, for my soul. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. If Satan could, he would make it that the people of God never spoke of the work of God. One of the great ploys he has is to say, don't speak of anything, because that will just lift up your pride. It'll only be lifting up what you have done. But if one is to truly speak of the Lord's work, and a sinner speak of the Lord's work in a gracious way, then it will always be humbling. If you were to say to the Apostle Paul, you tell me of the Lord's work in your soul, and he would say, well, I was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to me. And you say, Paul, why were you on the road to Damascus? Oh, says Paul, I was there because I had letters to hail men and women to prison and to take the lives of the people of God. And so immediately, how humbling it is why he was there. And so when he speaks of the Lord's sovereign grace and kindness to him, there is that also that humbles. May we remember that. You thinking that you are going to have a nice testimony that doesn't speak anything to your detriment, or that there's nothing that you are to be ashamed of. There's everything in ourselves to be ashamed of, but not to be ashamed of God's work. And it is to magnify his work. And his work is really magnified in that work that he does in sinners. When our Lord spoke of the prodigal son, and how his work was to run away from his father, waste his substance with riotous living, cast off all of the restraints of his parents, and to just live life to the full. But then he began to be in want. And then there was a famine in the land. And then he was in a trial and low place, brought by God's work to remember the blessings that he had former. It doesn't happen automatically, you know, does it? It's God's work to make it that way round. And then it was that he sought to return humbly as a servant. You know, as soon as he turned, the Father saw him a great way off. I do so like that. We may feel a great way off, but because it's the Lord's work, the Lord knows about it, and he knows exactly where we are. It's a wonderful token, you know, that the Lord knows where we are, in our soul's experience, in our feelings. He knows the downcast, he knows the sorrowful, he knows the tempted, he knows the tried. He knows exactly where they are. Thou only hast wrought all our works in us. Job in one place says, he maketh my heart soft. Have you ever had to thank the Lord and give him the honour for a softened heart? To be made tender in his fear. To be given a hearing ear to what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's God's work. How clearly the Lord said when the disciples said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And our Lord said, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom God hath sent. 'Tis Christ that makes a believer and gives him his crown. It is God's work. And you know, Philip knew this when he was called to go and speak to the eunuch, that nothing but God's work could make this man to be a believer. He couldn't see the Lord in Isaiah 53, but under the preaching of Philip, he did see him, and he loved him, and he wanted to walk in his ways. It's God's work that makes a believer. And if you have groaned under unbelief, If you have so wanted to believe but can't, if you have so prayed and longed to believe, you know what a simplicity and what a profound blessedness it is to really believe. The gospel, in one sense, is so simple. To believe only, and yet so impossible without the work of God and without the grace of God. And it is so sweet and so blessed to believe when you've gone a long, long while and you couldn't believe. The Lord makes that difference so often in the Word. The captive groans under the captivity, and then it's so sweet when he's given liberty. The afflicted one in his affliction, and the Lord comes and heals, and it's so sweet and blessed. The one that's walked so long in darkness, and then the Lord shines in his darkness. And it is so precious to have that light. And the Lord works in that way. The children of Israel had to know that they could not get out of Egyptian bondage. Not all the signs and wonders, not all the judgments of the Lord there in Egypt would bring them out, but the blood only. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that same night the Lord delivered them with a high hand out of Egypt and brought them out. Each of the people of God are to be persuaded of this, that it is the Lord's work alone that has made them a believer, plucked them as a brand from the burning, put them amongst his children, amongst his people. And that work has been a work that has been wrought in their hearts. It has had that effect outwardly. Very many of the people of God, they don't realize how much the Lord's people do see. They do notice. They notice the change of their appetite and desire, and those things that they do and how they speak or what they don't speak. And it is noticed and it is seen. Many that have perhaps come forth to make an open profession in the Lord's name and come quite surprised that the Church of God are not surprised, because the work has been seen. But it is right, and it is exhorted here, remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. It's a blessed thing for the Church of God to see the work of God. But then it's an even more sweeter thing when a poor sinner desires to magnify that work. And they lift it up and they own it as the Lord's work and value it as such and lay it before the church as such. Remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. But as the Lord goes on with his dear people, there'll be many things to the Lord's work. With dear Job, this cannot be said as a path, and certainly not at the beginning, as a path of chastening, as a path of tribulation. But there will be those times of chastening. And even in those times, it's right to magnify the work of the Lord. You say, why? Why? Because so often it can be a stumbling block to others. They think, well, if this is the people of God, why do all of these things happen to them? Why do they have these afflictions and these troubles and these trials happen to them? And sometimes you magnify the Lord's work and saying, I have not a quarrel with it. The Lord knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, he shall bring me forth as gold. And that magnifying of his work, you said, you're looking on to my life and you're offended. But I'm in it. I'm in this trial. And it is the Lord's work. Let him do what seemeth him good It is the Lord, says Eli, let him do what seemeth him good. Job, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And his attitude, what was spoken in that trial, it magnified the work of God. And then again, in the way of chastening, it is to acknowledge of that chastening hand of the Lord. Those that look on, they might not see the sin. They might not see even the reason for the Lord's hand upon us. But we may have to testify and say, I know why this has come. Don't be offended at the Lord for me. It is the Lord's hand. And hear thou the rod, and who hath appointed it. That work that the Lord does in his people, as we said at the beginning, on a scene of which is seen by so many, looked upon, but for the people of God, their part is to magnify his work, not to deny it, but to put the crown on his head. It is the Lord's work. What a solemn thing. I read account years ago, and it was someone that had been in hospital. It was a car accident, and their so-called pastor had come to casualty to see them. He said, don't worry, it was not the Lord. It was not the Lord's hand. What kind of a comfort would that be? If there could be any time that the Lord was not in control. In the account of Job, it was not Satan in control. The Lord was in control. When David numbered Israel, one account says that Satan stirred up David. The other, that the Lord moved David to number Israel because of Israel's sin. David, he says, I have sinned. That's the best way for us. But it is as in Daniel's, his confessions of the nation's sins in Daniel 9, puts the crown on the Lord's head, puts the faithfulness on his head, and humbles himself before the Lord. And that is the path that we are to walk. It is the Lord's work we magnify. The Lord is in control. It is his work. May there not be any here that are ashamed of the work of the Lord. Ashamed to own the work of the Lord. May we not be ashamed of his dealings in providence, his hand towards us. May we seek, even if it be a bitter path, to still magnify his work and not leave it that the devil says, ah, that was my work. Why, our Lord, when he comes to Calvary, he said, this is your hour and the hour of darkness. But there was the salvation of all the people of God, the sacrifice for sin. He shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. No, Satan, the Lord will use him as a servant. He thinks he's having his own way, but the Lord is in control. Happy is the soul that sees the work of the Lord, recognizes it, and is given grace to magnify it. And maybe there's one here who the Lord has wrought in your hearts, and it is time that you do magnify it and own it before the church and before his people. It's something not to be forgotten. Remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £575, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 32. Whatever prompts the soul to pride, or gives us room to boast, except in Jesus crucified, is not the Holy Ghost. Number 32.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.